You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It was 44 years ago, landmark decision by the United States Supreme Court that changed the course of this nation concerning abortion and how we care for human lives. Today, many people gathering in our nation's capital saying we care about life. We affirm life. We're going to head to our nation's capital to check in with several people there this morning to hear their perspective right there from the march. We'll also hear from students from Lutheran schools here in the St. Louis area. It is National Lutheran Schools Week. So we'll check in with our students from St. Paul's Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. Joining us first this morning from the National March for Life, Katie Schurman, with the LCMS Marching for Life there in Washington, D.C. Katie, thanks so much for joining us this morning from the march.
Andy, it is always a pleasure to talk with you.
How are things going this morning as people are gathering together, making their way over to the Capitol for the March for Life?
God has blessed us with beautiful weather today. Last year, he blessed us with a blizzard, which was also exciting. But it's really nice to be able to see the blue sky and the sun and some clouds. It's a bit windy, but that's okay. We can deal with that. And we just finished the divine service that the LCMS Life Convention that they hold, you know, for the Lutherans who are gathering to march. So we just finished that at the Westin Hotel, and now we're en route to the metro, which we're going to take to the march itself, which will be near the mall in Washington, D.C. Specifically, we'll be gathering on the corner of 12th and Constitution.
And many Lutherans gathering together this morning for worship as they prepare to head out to this March for Life. What do things look like for the many Lutherans gathering together this morning?
Excited because there are hundreds of us gathered here today. It's always a blessing when Lutherans from different states come together in one spot to join in a unified voice and supporting the gift of life that God gives to us, and hoping to march on behalf of supporting women and children and those most vulnerable in our country. Something else that's exciting is not just Lutherans gather. My dear friend Liz Kramer, she's Roman Catholic, and she has the history of coming to our conferences and conventions, the LCMS ones. She's just always pleased to be a part of the pro-life cause. So that is a joy, too, joining together with other denominations and other confessions of faith. And I believe that we're going to be meeting up with a substantial number of students from Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne also, while we're at the march, and we hope to be a visible, prayerful presence for the voice of life here in Washington, D.C. today. So if anybody is watching any coverage, look for the lime green hat and look for the hashtag Eyes of Life. If you're following on social media today, check out Eyes of Life, and you'll be able to follow some of what we're doing here today, but then also you can follow some stories of people who have Eyes of Life, who have been given life in Christ and therefore wants to serve their neighbor joyfully. And you can find their stories online as well.
Very good.
So I'm pretty excited.
I'm glad you mentioned the Eyes of Life. Certainly, you can follow eyesoflife.org. And as you mentioned in social media today, watch for hashtag Eyes of Life, as you can see many who are marching in Washington, and follow their story as well. I did see already some pictures of Concordia Lutheran High School, Fort Wayne, as they were making their way into the area as well. Some great pictures, the number of students from that high school, and one of their pastors from their high school, Pastor Chad Hoover, there as well. Lots of great pictures and some selfies from them on Facebook today as well.
And Andy, I don't know if you've heard yet, but Vice President Mike Pence is speaking today at the rally, which precedes the march itself. And that's very exciting because historically, especially for the last 8 years, of course, we've not really had a presence from our government represented at this march. In fact, President Obama was present at many different Planned Parenthood events. But what an honor it is, and what a blessing it is to have our Vice President of the United States not only going to acknowledge this peaceful protest on behalf of those who have no voice for themselves, but he's actually going to speak himself at the rally. And that encourages me. I hope it encourages others too, because it gives some light maybe that we might in the next few years ahead in the United States of America maybe just have a louder voice in support of those who are in need. So thanks be to God for that.
Katie, thank you so much for sharing with us your perspective from the March for Life, and stay safe. God's blessings, and thanks for what you're doing today.
Thank you for what you're doing, Andy. Take care.
Let's go to our next guest in Washington, D.C. today, Dr. Russell Gambozzi. He's a pediatrician and also a member of the American College of Pediatricians. Dr. Gambozzi, thanks so much for joining us via phone today.
You're right. Oh, you're welcome. There's a lot of noise in the background as our leader of the trip is introducing people to the mall, because got the Washington Monument in view. We'll be getting off our bus very soon.
So you're traveling by bus around the nation's capital. Is this a repeat trip to the March for Life for you? Or is this your first time?
This is my first time. Very, very excited about it.
Why is, as a pediatrician, why is this important to you to head to our nation's capital and on this day when we try to send this message that life is important, life is valued?
Well, I've been a longtime pro-life supporter, I've been director of a level 2 nursery, so I take care of babies born prematurely, and we in this country have one of the most liberal abortion laws in the world. And to think that we allow late-term abortions when we have the capability of basically saving almost all those children, to me it's just criminal that that we allow that in this country.
What are you hoping to see? What do you hope will you experience, or what do you hope will happen today at the March for Life?
Well, I hope, I think it's safe to say that with the new administration, we're all excited with the groundswell of kind of conservative thought, especially with regard to the pro-life issue. And hopefully this is a spark for some true change that's going to occur in our country that really is supporting of all child life. The multitude of children who have not gotten to live because of this, it's time that change. It's time that we, at the very least, put some significant restrictions on the abortion industry.
Now, you mentioned earlier you're traveling with a group. Tell me a little bit about the group you're traveling with today.
Well, we left from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. It actually is a Catholic group put together by a number of parishes in the area. We've got a bus. I think there's 57 people on our bus, and there were two other buses coming as well from the local Catholic high school.
How would you describe the environment today? How would you describe the people coming to Washington? Have you seen others? Are you starting to see crowds there in the Washington, D.C. area?
Yeah, it's huge, actually. I mean, I can see a good probably a half mile from where I'm at now all around the Washington Monument, and there are just throngs of people here. From what I understand, there's usually a couple hundred thousand, and I think they expect quite a bit more than that this year. So again, I think it's a real encouraging thing, sign for all of us who believe in pro-life.
Dr. Gambozzi, thank you so much for being my guest, sharing your perspective from the March for Life, and thank you for your work with the American College of Pediatricians as well.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a great organization, and there are many, many kids. We've got to put a big restriction on this abortion movement, especially when kids are viable, when life at 22 weeks gestation and older, it really should not be permitted. So hopefully this is the beginning of some real change. And thanks for the Lutheran support. My kids went to Lutheran schools, and fully supportive of you guys. Thank you.
Well, we're glad that you're there as well. And you'll find many of the Lutherans there wearing the bright green, bright yellow hats.
Well, we got bright green scarves, so we'll fit right in.
There you go. The Catholics and the Lutherans with the bright colors today. Thanks so much, Dr. Gumbozzi.
You're welcome. Take care now.
Thank you. You too. And let's go to Deaconess Kim Biltman. She's with Concordia University, Wisconsin. She's director of campus ministry, and they're with students at the National March for Life. Deaconess Kim, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
Glad to have some time to talk with you. Now, did you bring students again from Concordia University, Wisconsin to the March for Life this year?
Yes, I did. We have 17 here this year.
Why is it important to you and to the students to be a part of the March for Life?
Well, for me personally, I have been serving as a deaconess for about 15 years now, and just serving in the church and serving people of all ages, and just seeing how precious life is from the moment of conception until the end of life. And we as a group at Concordia are just concerned about those issues, and we want people to know the love of Christ and the value of life because of what Christ has done for us in giving his life. So, yeah, that's why we're here.
Now, you mentioned you brought 17 students with you for this very important march. How did you prepare for this? How did you and students prepare for this? When did you have to start making plans and getting students signed up to go?
We start right away as soon as students are back on campus in the fall. When our group, the day before classes start, we are already handing out information and sign-up forms at our co-curricular fair, and started meeting. Our group meets twice a month, every other Thursday night, and we talk about life issues, and we've done several things throughout the fall, praying outside of abortion clinics in Milwaukee and supporting a place of refuge, which is a pregnancy care center in our district there in South Wisconsin. And so we get together regularly and pray about this and talk about it, and we've been making plans for several months now. So.
Now, of those 17 students, is this the first time to the National March for Life for many of them?
For a lot of them, probably two-thirds. It's their first time, and about a third of them have come before. So.
For those who are returning, what did they share with the other students as they were making plans? What were their thoughts and hopes for this year's trip?
They basically have been sharing a lot about just how important it is for us to show God's grace and his love through all of our words and actions, and that's what this is really about, you know, that whether or not the laws change, what we can share with people and touch their hearts with is the most important thing, and we want to really touch people's hearts with the love of Christ.
Now, I recall in the past when you've reported live for us as well from the National March for Life that you've mentioned that it's a very peaceful tone throughout the march.
What's
are you en route to the march right now, or have you made your way there already?
We are. So our students are actually helping out with the LCMS conference, and so I am down near the mall right now, but my students are strewn from the hotel where the conference is being held to the mall. As kind of markers along the way. We're all wearing bright green hats, vests, and carrying bright green umbrellas to direct the way for all the LCMS marchers. So, so we're down. I've made the trip down, and I'm down here waiting for everyone else to get here. And there's a lot of people gathering, and it's very peaceful, and people are, you can tell there's a lot of excitement in the air, too. I think there's a feeling of just kind of a new excitement with the new administration and things, too. So.
Well, that's very nice. The Concordia University, Wisconsin students helping out and helping get people from the conference to the mall this morning for the March for Life. Are you seeing other college students, other high school and college students at the march this year?
Absolutely. Yeah, we on our plane from Milwaukee, we were with Marquette Students for Life, and on the train just now, we were with another group of college students, and groups are walking past us constantly, and lots of young people, definitely.
Very good. Well, I hope that that your group is able to regroup later on today after serving and getting everybody safely to the March for Life. Thanks for what you're doing, Deaconess Kim Biltman, and for leading a group of students to the March for Life from Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
We're going to go now to Dr. Donna Harrison with the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetrician and Gynecologists. Dr. Harrison, thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Always a pleasure to have time to talk with you. This is what number is this for you in terms of March for Life?
This is number 5. And this is the best weather we've ever had. I'll tell you, it's been pretty challenging weather, but it's beautiful today.
Why is it, well, before we get to the march, for our listeners not familiar with American Association of Pro-Life Obstetrician and Gynecologists, tell us a little bit about your organization and why you are at the march today.
Well, we're at the march because we're both pro-woman and pro-life, and we believe that women don't know what the risks are to them of abortion. Everyone knows that their child is killed, but they don't realize that they're increasing their risk of breast cancer, suicide, depression, and preterm birth and subsequent pregnancy. So we make that information known to women and to doctors who actually don't realize it either. This is information that's been well documented over the last 4 decades. So we're primarily informational, but we also encourage our physicians to stick to the Hippocratic Oath, which says, I won't do abortion and I won't kill your grandmother. And that's important, especially at a time right now where conscience for healthcare professionals is being challenged. So our most important issue for the upcoming next year is to do whatever we can to help get the Conscience Protection Act passed through both the House and the Senate. Because right now, doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals have really no real rights of conscience, the rights to refuse to perform or refer for abortions or euthanasia.
You mentioned that you and the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetrician Gynecologists, or APLOG, is pro-woman and pro-life. What does that mean to be pro-woman today?
When we present at medical conferences where the predominant zeitgeist is pro-choice, what we explain to them is if you're truly pro-choice, then you would want a woman to know that abortion has serious health consequences for them, and that women who abort are at increased risk of, like I said, preterm birth, breast cancer, suicide, depression. That's a very important piece of information that's being withheld from women. So even those who are pro-choice should be able to agree that a choice should be an informed choice instead of the current ignorance and lack of informed consent that goes on. And that's what we mean by pro-woman. We actually care about the mom who's left over after her baby has been killed.
Have you made your way down to the mall yet, or still en route?
Yeah, we're right now. We're inside the media tent right now. I thought this would be a little quieter, but it's not much quieter. Sorry.
What does it look like today? I know you mentioned the weather is nice. What about the crowd there? What's the outlook like today?
The weather's beautiful, and I'll tell you, I've never seen so many people here, so many people so early. I mean, we came about 10 o'clock, and the march, the rally doesn't start till 12. And the subway was packed. So I'm really going to be interested to see how many people turn out and how young people are. It's always encouraging. This is the pro-life generation.
What do you think the outlook is like for this year and the future? I'm hearing more about the March for Life this year. Perhaps, you know, in the past, especially in mainstream media, we've not heard, we've been one of the few outlets that have covered the March for Life.
Yeah.
And I've heard a little bit more about it this year from other outlets. Glad to hear that there's some recognition that this is an important issue and that it's important to many people, and starting to see that a little bit more in mainstream media.
Well, and you know, I can't thank KFUO enough for being one of the faithful ones to say, look, there are hundreds of thousands of people here. Why isn't the media covering this? You know, so you guys have been there all the time, and thank you for getting that word out.
It's my pleasure, and thanks to you and the many others who are willing to share your perspective from that. Before we move on to our next guest, Dr. Harrison, anything else you'd like to share from the National March for Life?
Yeah, I'd just like to encourage everyone out there to ask their doctors where they stand and have they taken the Hippocratic Oath, and encourage their doctors to start speaking out about life, because we need more medical professionals to stand with us. And we're easy to find. Just Google Pro-Life OB-GYNs or AHPLOG.org. We need your docs to stand with us. So thank you.
Dr. Donna Harrison, the Executive Director of the American College of Pro-Life Obstetrician and Gynecologists. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Okay, thank you.
Now let's go to the Reverend Michael Salamink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Pastor Salamink, good morning.
Good morning, Andy.
Glad to have some time with you this morning. How was Divine Service this morning? I caught just a little bit of it this morning. Saw you there celebrating with the saints the gifts of God.
It was seriously joyful.
It was.
One of the unique ways that that Lutherans witness to the sanctity of human life is by gathering together for worship, to receive the Lord's Supper together, and renew our faith and our confession, as then we go out to reflect the compassion that God shows to us, to everyone who is in the world.
As you gather together, I gather it was a crowded room this morning with Lutherans who are gathering together for this life conference.
We had a full house, and I am very encouraged to say that all generations were represented. From the very, very youngest, we had the Lord ordained praise out of the mouths of babes, and also our veterans of the cross who have served the Lord in his kingdom for many years, and then many students. At least half of our congregation this morning was students from high schools and colleges coming out to celebrate life. The March for Life is not so much a protest march as it is an affirmation of the gift of life that God has given us in our bodies and in the lives of our neighbors, every one of whom is a gift to us. So we're very joyful today.
Well, I understand you're making your way from the Divine Service at the conference, the hotel, over to the mall, and finally made it off of the train so we'd have a chance to connect with you.
It was kind of spotty connections as I was traveling beneath the streets of the capital city of this great nation, but I have two wonderful traveling companions, our Lutherans for Life Director of Missions Ministries, Hillary Hawk, and a friend, Martin, who serves on the city council in Prague in the Czech Republic, who is joining with the Lutherans for the March for Life.
As you're approaching the area of the march this morning, what are you seeing? What's the outlook like there?
Well, we're right on the corner of Constitution Avenue and 12th Street, and there are lots and lots and lots of people. Children, I'm seeing. I'm seeing people holding very life-affirming signs, groups of high school students who are excited, enthusiastic, singing. We were acknowledged by the driver of the train, welcoming all of us who were marching in favor of life. And so the sun is shining on the capital of the United States, and we are optimistic that in this capital city of this great nation that we will be able to give testimony to the value of human life, which God has given by his acts of grace.
What is the message that many marchers will be sharing today in our nation's capital, especially the message from Lutherans who are marching for life?
That message is quite simple. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God loves every person. And it doesn't matter what your age is or what your appearance is or what your ability is, that God has created you with his own hands, that he has redeemed you in the hands of his son, Jesus Christ. And God calls every human being into an eternal relationship with him. And that is the message that we want everyone to hear. It is quite simply the gospel of Jesus Christ that the Lutheran Church has stood for over 2,000 years. And we have a wonderful platform here in the capital of the United States to be able to broadcast that message and reflect our Lord's love and appreciation for life.
Now, I understand the rally is coming up in just about a half an hour, that really starts off the march, the rally in the area. And
a
number of speakers lined up today. Mm-hmm. Will you be able to make it closer to the rally where you'll be able to hear some of the speakers this afternoon?
That's a really good question, because the Vice President of the United States will be one of those speakers, and so there are some extra security measures, and that'll probably affect the crowd size. In the past, I've not been able to really catch too much of what the speakers are saying, but their job is to remind the crowd that we're here to celebrate and to be joyful So as we make our way, Andy, for the listeners who have not ever been a part of the March for Life, I don't think that there's an adequate way to describe just how large the crowds are. The streets will be filled with people and from all across the country and really from all around the world. And so we'll travel in this great throng of folks who recognize that everyone who's a member of the human race deserves our respect and protection.
Very good. Pastor Salamink, this is one of the key things that Lutherans for Life is involved in, is proclaiming that message, whether it's on a national setting or in the local congregation, local community. Thanks for what you're doing there and for leading so many at the March for Life this year. We pray a safe day and safe travels for you.
Andy, we are very pleased to be out here where our Lord is amongst his people, to have the chance just to remind everyone that that Jesus Christ has died to redeem you, and we want to love you as part of his family.
Thank you very much. Safe travels on your way back.
Thank you very much.
Well, it was it's always a privilege to get to talk with those who are attending the March for Life. Again, as Katie mentioned at the beginning of the program, you can follow on social media on KFUO on Facebook and follow the story there that we've shared today, as well as look for the hashtag Eyes of Life. You can see pictures all across social media with the Eyes of Life stories as well. Coming up in just a little bit, National Lutheran Schools Week. We'll visit with students from St. Paul's Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
For years, I've been saying the legal abortion industry often has standards equal to illegal back alley abortion mills. They simply move the entry from the alley to the street out front. My friends at Americans United for Life have documented hundreds of detailed cases of major health violations, the maiming of women, and deaths of many others. It's called Unsafe: How the Public Health Crisis in America's Abortion Clinics Endangers Women, and is an excellent tool for you to use when sharing the truth about abortion. This is just the tip of the iceberg, because most ghastly conditions go unreported. You can have free, instant access to this report. Please get it and share this vital information with others. Visit lifeissues.org and click on the microphone icon, where you'll find a link.
Follow us on Twitter at LifeIssuesUSA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
God's Word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
I deserve a reward. After all, I found our dream house.
Have a pickle.
Thanks.
But I found out how much the house was going to cost, Pastor John.
But I found us the perfect mortgage.
But then I found out the house had radon.
Ugh.
The radioactive gas that's the second leading cause of lung cancer.
Yeah, well,
I need two pickles.
I found the phone number to call, 1-800-SOS-RADON, where you can get all the information you need to test your home and fix a radon problem.
I'd like some ice cream with this pickle.
Are you trying to tell me something?
Protect your family from radon. Call 1-800-SOS-RADON. 1-800-SOS-RADON.
A long-standing tradition at Worldwide KFUO is to broadcast two live worship services for those unable to attend or for those who may benefit from hearing God's Word online or KFUO. From Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois, Senior Pastor John Schenk leads the worship service at 8 a.m. The live late service at 10:45 comes from Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri, where Reverend Dr. Kevin Golden is Senior Pastor. Hear the message of mercy and forgiveness during Sunday morning worship on Worldwide KFUO.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is National Lutheran Schools Week. Favorite tradition of mine here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center is to invite schools, Lutheran schools from the area, to come visit us here at the International Center. Many of them bring great music, great sacred music to share with us in chapel as well. And so we have students today from St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, joining us to share their story about their Lutheran school. In studio with us today, we have Joseph. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us this morning. And Anastasia. Good morning, Anastasia.
Good morning.
And Anna as well. Glad to have you here this morning.
Good morning.
And Deaconess Lynette Fredrickson.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks for spending some time with us again this year during National Lutheran Schools Week. Deaconess Fredrickson, where would we find Hamel, Illinois?
You'd find Hamel, Illinois, about 30 miles northeast of St. Louis, on I-55. We are the church with the neon cross that we're so well known for.
As a student, when I was studying at Concordia University, Chicago, Concordia University River Forest at the time, and making my long drive up to the university, I remember seeing that neon cross right along the highway.
Yes.
So it's a landmark.
It is. And when it goes out, we get calls from people who are non-members who tell us that the cross is out. So it's been there since World War II. It was put up in honor of some soldiers.
Really? Yes. I didn't realize it had been there that long.
Yes.
Wow. Well, so now we know where, especially if you're here in the Midwest, traveling along I-55, you know where St. Paul Lutheran Church and School is located in Hamel, Illinois. Let's talk a little bit about the history of the school. A restart just a few years ago, is that right?
Correct. 3 years ago, we restarted. We had been part of an association, and the association disbanded, and so St. Paul had a church, a school for 160 years about, and they decided that they were going to continue to have a school. And with the restart, we restarted as a classical education school.
And you serve as administrator for the school?
I am principal, and I also teach full time.
So you're a busy person.
Yes.
Well, let's talk with our students. Joseph, is this your first year at St. Paul Lutheran School?
I think it's the third year.
Third year. What grade are you in this year?
Sixth
grade. And what would you say, what are some of your favorite subjects? What are some of the, or activities at St. Paul Lutheran School? What do you enjoy studying most?
Art.
Art?
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you do in art?
We get to paint and draw stuff and color.
Very good.
Yeah.
Anastasia, tell me, what grade are you in?
I'm in eighth grade.
Eighth grade, and some of your favorite subjects or activities?
Probably math and literature.
And have you been a student at St. Paul for a while, or is this your first year?
Yes, I've been a student at St. Paul for 3 years.
Wonderful. So you love math. You enjoy math.
Yes.
What is it particularly that you like about math?
Math is just numbers, so you don't have to think about it too much. You just add them all up and do whatever it tells you to.
And who is your math teacher?
Deaconess Fredrickson.
And Anna.
Yes.
What grade are you in, Anna?
Seventh.
Seventh grade. And some of your favorite subjects or activities?
I like grammar and I also like history.
Grammar and history. What do you love about grammar?
I like learning with Deaconess and when she talks about it and how people have really bad grammar language.
Are you going to watch everything I say today and make sure that I get it correct?
No.
You mentioned you like history as well. Mm-hmm. What are you studying in history presently?
I forget.
We just finished up on the Enlightenment, and yeah. And we're in the 1700s, and we're going to start talking about the colonies.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
With so many students together, well, how many students do we have at St. Paul?
We have 46. 35 are in kindergarten to 8th grade, and 11 in pre-kindergarten.
And how do the students across the ages interact quite a bit?
Yes. We have chapel every day together, and they all have chapel buddies. And so there's an older student paired with a younger student. They also have some courses together in various arrangements throughout the day. So even our pre-kindergarten does a lot with kindergarten. Kindergarten to second grade is together for some classes. They have choir together often. The upper grades mix anywhere from third to eighth grade. Literature is mixed group. They have choir all together, third to eighth, and their music theory classes is all together.
Music theory. I took music theory. I studied music theory in high school. It's been a little while. Yes. I probably wouldn't pass a test now if I tried to. What are the, are there advantages to having students across different grades or different ages interact and study and learn together?
They have friendships that are going to last a lifetime, I know, from, and the younger students learn from the older students, and they even play together after school. I mean, it's pretty tremendous just, you know, to be there and see, and they help each other out. You know, if someone's got coat troubles or something, they're, you know, the older students helping the younger ones with their zippers and mittens, and it's just really wonderful to see.
Anastasia, as an eighth grade student, what does that mean to you that there are younger students that that look up to you, that you help them learn?
I think it's really great that we are able to interact so much with the little kids, because the little kids they just love all of us. It's really funny how much they admire us.
How do you think, an eighth grader, this means you're completing your education at St. Paul's this year, correct?
Yes.
Do you have plans for next year? Do you know what school you might be attending next year?
No, I'm still waiting for Mom and Dad to decide.
What do you think, how has St. Paul prepared you for that next step for high school?
Well, I'm doing a lot of classes by myself, so I can be, you know, as advanced as I want. And so I think that's really helpful that I'm kind of getting into some more high school work, even though I'm still just in an eighth grade. So
you're able to work independently and still yeah. feel very accomplished in what you're studying.
Yeah.
Very good. Why did your family, I'd like to hear from each student on this. We'll start with Anastasia. Why did your family choose St. Paul Lutheran School for you?
My dad is a pastor and warden, and he wanted to send us to a Lutheran school. And we had already been going to St. Paul when it was in the association. So we just kept going there.
So a Lutheran school is very important to your family.
Yes.
Anna, how about you? Why did your family choose St. Paul Lutheran School?
My mom was called to be the kindergarten teacher, and we also wanted to go to church at St. Paul also, so it was a win-win for our family.
Very good. So it's really an integral part of your family as well. Mom being an educator and and church and school being connected is very important. Joseph, how about you? Why did your family choose St. Paul Lutheran School?
I think it's because to learn more English and stuff that I don't know.
Yeah. Learning English.
Yes.
Very good. When do you learn about Jesus at St. Paul Lutheran School throughout your day? Joseph?
Bible class and church.
Anastasia, when do you hear about Jesus? When do you learn God's word throughout your day?
On Mondays and Wednesdays, we have confirmation classes with the pastors. And every weekday, right after lunch, Deaconess does a Bible class.
So you study God's word quite a bit.
Yes.
Anna?
The same.
Mm-hmm. Throughout the day. How is Deaconess Fredrickson, how is God's word an important part of this education at St. Paul Lutheran School?
It is interwoven into every class. We have a fabulous literature teacher, and I know they study God's word within their literature. Learning their seven deadly sins, right? Everything, and it's just our life. It is who we are at St. Paul. All of the teachers, God's word, just in our discipline structure. We try to center it around Christ to teach them, God's word in every possible way we can, so that it isn't just an isolated Sunday thing, or that they view worship as something separate from their actual daily life.
That it's an integral part of who we are every day as a child of God, as a baptized child of God.
Right.
Worship is a part of what we do every day. You mentioned earlier that St. Paul Lutheran School is a classical school. What does that mean today for a school to be a classical school?
We teach differently, and our approach is differently. It is different to education. Fun is not our goal. We want our students to enjoy school, and they get their fun in hoping that they would love to learn. We teach to how anyone learns as God has made us. So our younger children in the grammar stage do a lot of memorization. They have learned lots of lists of facts. They're setting up their file cabinet. Third to fifth, sixth grade, starting to fill the file cabinet with more information. And students like, especially Anastasia, as an eighth grader, learning the rhetoric stage is learning to apply it in multiple ways. And so our upper grade students also have logic, so that they're learning to apply these facts that they've learned in kind of integrating all of their subjects together. So nothing's in isolation. And our curriculum is different. We teach traditional math and grammar. Our students, to the point that they even love it. And literature, they read classical books as opposed to like anthologies. And we try to link our literature and our history together. So they have history every day. Along with their other subjects, they also have Latin. All our students are exposed to Latin. The younger grades are just exposed, and our upper grade students have it as an actual, our younger students have it as a daily class, but they learn some hymn songs, Latin songs and things like that. They also do learn some Latin hymns. And so it just makes for things like strings or like music. We teach actual techniques and skills in the various classes, like art. They're actually learning art skills and not just crafts, as you might be exposed in other other school settings.
So the classical approach, the goal, as you mentioned, is not fun. But what I hear you saying is that joy is certainly a byproduct in that learning process.
Definitely. I know as students, they go home and they probably, you know, complain about the day. But I do see my students skipping down the hallway and you know, loving to go to certain classes. And I mean, there's just a different, it's a joy as opposed to just fooling around kind of fun type of thing. And it's not entertainment. We want them to take away a knowledge and a love for learning that will be with them for life.
So this is this approach is really developing this love for learning, mm-hmm. so that we never stop learning.
Correct.
That we're always learning. What do you think about that? When you hear that, that life is always includes learning. Well, as students, what do you think, Anastasia?
I think yeah, that's absolutely right. We're always learning new things, and it's really fun and interesting to see how, like, the stuff we have learned in the school day, all of a sudden we come home and everybody's using the vocabulary words we just learned.
What do you think? Do you think you'll be a lifelong learner, Anna?
Yes, definitely.
Joseph?
Yeah.
Do you have maybe some dreams, some hopes of what you might do as an adult after school, after high school, what you might go on to? Anna?
I want to do what my mom does. Teach kindergarten.
You'd like to be a teacher as well?
Mm-hmm.
Anastasia, any ideas?
Not really.
Joseph, how about you? Any ideas what you might like to do in the future?
Maybe play professional sports.
Play professional sports? What do you play a sport right now?
Yeah.
What's that?
Baseball and basketball.
Very good. Anyone else participate in any sports or other activities outside of school? Yes, Anna?
My mom has been doing an after-school Thursday club, and right now we're doing history, and so we're going to write a paper, and then we're going to dress up like that person, and then we're going to have a wax museum, and then people will ask us questions about it, about the person that we picked in history.
You love history, I can tell. So a wax museum, you're going to build your own wax museum?
No, we're just going to dress up like that person would have in their time period.
I see. Well, you mentioned earlier, Deaconess Fredrickson, that that students learn when it comes to the arts, when it comes to music, they're learning skills. And when it comes to fine art, they're, you know, when it comes to art, they're learning the skills in order to use those as they learn more about the arts.
Yes, all our students are in some type of music program. Most of our students are in our strings program. So they have that 2 days a week. They have, and that's, we had some of our upper level students playing today in chapel. So even within learning strings, they're learning a lot about instruments, and combined with their strings program and their music theory class, they're learning to actually read music and you know, how music is you know, composed. And, you know, it's not just learning a song. They're learning what goes behind it. They learn about composers, history, historical periods of music. So that there's more background to what they're learning with their skills.
Now, who in here plays strings? Anna does? What do you play?
I play violin and piano.
Violin. Joseph, do you play strings?
Just violin.
Violin. Anastasia, do you play an instrument? Or?
I play piano and organ.
Piano and organ. Wow. We have a lot of musicians in this room.
She's even a church organist.
Wonderful. Who would you... Who would you like to thank for the privilege of attending your school today? Anyone you want to thank for the privilege of attending St. Paul Lutheran School, or anyone you give a shout out to today as well? We'll start with Anna. We'll work our way down to Joseph here.
I would probably say my parents and my grandparents.
A thank you to them for your opportunity to study at St. Paul's.
Mm-hmm.
Anastasia?
My church... it has a program for helping students go to Lutheran schools. So my church is very helpful and instrumental in my being able to have a Lutheran education.
Very good. Joseph, how about you? Anyone you'd like to thank today?
I don't know.
What, Deaconess Fredrickson, from your perspective, what can Lutheran schools offer that, or perhaps do better than other schools could do?
Lutheran schools have the opportunity to teach Christ-centered virtues and to teach the students how to go out into the world and take Christ with them out into the world. As I teach my students, we are the remnant, and they, you know, they're the ones that are going to take Christ out to the world as examples on how they live. And actually, I would imagine from our class, I see some future pastors and some future Lutheran school teachers, and I hope they take the love and what they've learned in our classroom, and they too continue that on to the next generation.
As a deaconess, how is what you do at St. Paul Central to this vocation of deaconess?
Well, a deaconess is a theologically educated woman doing whatever their skill set is. Mm-hmm. And that's why what's wonderful about being a deaconess, because we can do, if you talk to deaconesses, everyone does something different. It's not a cookie cutter mm-hmm. type of thing. You have some working in music and some in education and some in healthcare settings. It's an absolutely fabulous job for a woman, a wonderful vocation. And so what I do bring to the students is my theological education. So, and I do try to bring that into what I teach, you know, with the students, and hope that they also see it in other ways of caring for them.
And I think that's another part of the deaconess education, that formation of deaconess. It's my understanding that yes, there's a significant focus on theology, but also there's a lot of education and preparation for caring.
Correct.
That's really at the heart of what deaconess right. is. It's about caring. How do you care for the students? What is the relationship between educator and student and family, between educator and school and family? How do you?
That's a very good question.
What's the relationship between school and family?
The best thing is that we all worship together. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just fabulous to be able to see them on Saturday night or Sunday morning and in church together. And there's church activities that we, you know, we do, mm-hmm. You know, all together. So they, as opposed to a secular school where a student would not see their teacher outside, you know, they see me at all times. A lot of the caring some of the students don't realize is going on behind the scenes. I know of, you know, maybe financial difficulties in a family, and I know some other things that I can take to the elders so that something can be done for a family via other means without the student even knowing that mm-hmm. I've been doing that behind this, you know, behind the scenes.
We live in the world we live in is very consumer minded. And so many times in this world, our approach to education of children is that's one more thing of which I'm a consumer. And my relationship to this school is that's a business or an organization of which I am a consumer. But the approach to Lutheran education is so much different than that. It's what I've heard from you and from our other schools this week is that it's a partnership, that we partner together to raise up these children in the one true faith,
right?
In this Christian faith.
Well, I'm and all involved with the school, we're concerned about the salvation of the children, and not just the salvation of children, but also their parents. We just recently had a baptism of a student who just came to the school this year. And so when we know that we have students that aren't baptized or families, we provide financial aid for families, and their only repayment is that they come to church. And it's not just that's a duty so they get their, you know, their tuition paid, but we truly are concerned about, you know, the parents also, you know, that they too come to hear God's word and hopefully would also come, you know, that the Holy Spirit would work through them, and they too
hear that good news. Yeah,
right, exactly.
My guest today, St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, Joseph Anastasia. Anna, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you for having us.
Deaconess Lynette Fredrickson, thank you so much for being my guest today. God's blessings as you return, and safe travels back to your school today.
Thank you.
Thanks for helping me celebrate National Lutheran Schools Week.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.